Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Like two French foreign legionnaires, having steadfastly maintained vigil over a long-forgotten citadel in a remote part of the Sahara Desert, who begin to recognize the futility of their situation, we begin a journey over the scorching sands, first walking, then crawling, and finally pulling ourselves forward, grasping one handful of sand after another, to an oasis that may be just an illusion. We, the Steeler Outpost, continue to hold out hope.
Go Steelers! Go Steelers! Say go Steelers! Go Steelers!
Steelers Outpost Podcast, a proud member of the Armchair All-Americans Network. It's July 12, 2020. This is Tom coming to you from Sawdust Studios in the Washington, D.C. Outpost, and Nick joins me from the Houston Outpost. And Nicholas, you guys must feel like you're playing Russian roulette down there with the resurgence of the coronavirus.
We do. I mean, you're gambling with your life in your hands every day with these mouth breathers down here that my brother is in arms. My fellow Houstonites were on the smarter side of history, hopefully. You know, we got to figure out a way to get around this. But the one thing you can't get around is it's a gamble. You know, just existing down here. And with health, I don't like to gamble on it. But with just about anything else, I'm down to clown, baby. And guess what? There's no shortage of action going on with our partners over at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back with the NBA announcing its return. NHL just signed some deals. It's about to go down on the ice. We're going to see some puck. UFC, huge fight coming up. Plenty of sports are back in the game. They've resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds and lines for their upcoming games and matches. And if you need more, they've got simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout dedicated gamblers. Now, they don't have our fictional version of fantasy football that we drew up last week. If by drew up, I mean sort of crudely sketched or outlined on a cave wall. That's actually my bookie calling me right now. That could be your bookie, Dad. I don't know what that noise was, but I assume it was somebody from Bet Online because they offer hundreds of live casino games and stuff along those lines as well. Long story short, they got ways for you to get in. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. Betonline.ag, your online wagering experts. Cha-ching.
We are holding out hope, but as you watch the crumbling walls of Major League Football starting to come down, it does MLF. Give you pause and gives you a little worried. So Big Ten and multiple of these big conferences are now limiting their season to conference games only, which, you know, okay, mitigates the risk by, what, a couple of games, a couple four games?
Yeah, some extra traveling and stuff like that. It's going to make the annoying nature of college football bid season that much more annoying when all the SEC teams have to beat up on each other and teams from other conferences whine that they're undefeated and they don't get a chance. Well, people, that's because you're playing semi-professional football compared to the NFL teams that are filtered down into the SEC. But we're not actually talking crap about college football the way we do about baseball, lightheartedly. College football is awesome. But that is a reality that's going to make that even more convoluted than it already has. I mean, so much of the competition is concentrated in the SEC. But the larger point being that, hey, Corona, it's starting to affect football now. It came along at a time where it was incredibly convenient for football, right? Right after football season's over. And I I shouldn't have to put out a disclaimer that there's nothing convenient about COVID, so I won't. We're just talking about football, right? But long story short, not only does football have the longest time to wait before having to deal with COVID, they also get the benefit of looking at what the rest of these leagues are going to do in order to combat the situation. Because I think that it's becoming clearer and clearer that they're going to have to deal with it in more than one way. And I wonder how prepared teams are going to be for that, going from 90 to 80 practice players or not playing teams outside your conference, but you're still tackling each other and breathing on each other. I don't know if they need to be doing something more extreme to prepare for maybe the inevitable.
For crying out loud, the Ivies canceled their seasons. Hey, so I don't know. I mean, I keep hearing this, that the other leagues are a model, but what did we see? Did you see the one video of the Major League? No, what soccer game was that where they had the two guys in the stands doing a wave two sections away from each other? Very funny. But when you see, you can't even get through these college training camps without dozens of guys going down. It's just hard to imagine. We did hear that the Steelers sent an email to their season ticket holders. Everybody will have to wear masks. We heard in May that they're selling, I think they said they're going to sell 50% of their individual tickets. Not, I guess there are some individuals beyond the season ticket holder, so they're reducing that to 50%. Still hard to see how they're going to, they will have to drastically reduce the number of even season ticket holders, don't you think? And
yeah,
say, look, you're going to get to go to every other game.
Yeah, something like that, because I know that in that email, they announced that the games will be held with a reduced capacity. But that number hasn't been decided on yet, right? Like, the 50% you're referring to was way back in the beginning of the virus in regards to season ticket holders, but that's not like there's going to be 50% of the people in the stands, right?
Well, let me clarify. The 50% was they were going to sell 50% of the individual tickets, which I took to be the non-season ticket holders.
Right. And that was way back. That was before a lot
in
of
May,
developments,
right.
Yeah. So right. We don't know what the number is going to be, but it is going to be reduced. And look, man, that's just frankly irresponsible to have a – I think 50% might be the number if you're thinking about having people there. It's going to spread like wildfire. I think I saw a report earlier today that it's about 1% of the population has it now. You know, that's very easy math of how that kind of thing is going to exponentially travel in a stadium. If I don't know the last time you've been to a game, but – I mean, there's no space. There's no space at all. You're like, that thing's going to go around like wildfire, and the great city of Pittsburgh could be compromised as a result. I say New England holds full capacity games. Baltimore, full capacity. Browns, I don't know if people actually want to go to that crap fest, but full capacity for the opposing teams. Bengals, who cares? Other than that, we play for piped-in noise.
I'm as loyal as the next guy, but I'm selfish, too. So if we get, what's 50% capacity? Is it like 30? Is it 64,000 at Heinz?
Something like that.
So we get 30,000 people in the stadium and we lose 300 of them. It's a cost I'm willing to pay.
Yeah, it's 68,000, by the way. You're almost right on with that. So there you go. Yeah, and it's not really for the players that I'd be worried about with the capacity issues. They're not going to come in contact with these people. You're outside and you're very far away. But they're going to pass it among the good people. City.
Look out that door. You see that line? There's more to replace. You know I'm a big fan of World War I. They just kept sending people over the trenches and kept bringing in new raw recruits. And I'm willing to take that risk. Hey, do you think this is...
Does that mean you're...
I don't care about the fans.
But that's...
I want football.
That's a spread of... Well, then who cares? Yeah, no fans then. We get football.
Pipe in the noise. I'll make that concession.
Pipe in the noise. But if you have fans, you're gonna be spreading the virus in a major way, getting 70,000 or 30,000 people together in a crowded space.
So do we have a controversy? Bud Dupree has filed a grievance. Have you read about this?
I have. Yeah.
So Bud, who may have a point, wants to be. He's right. Already been tagged as a linebacker, but he wants to be tagged as a defensive end, i.e. edge rusher.
Right, which is what he is, right? He's not a defensive end. He's not an
outside. Is there such
linebacker.
A thing as a linebacker in these 3-4?
Here's what this story should be about. Is how surprising is it that the NFL hasn't handled this already with position designations? The 3-4 has been around forever now. And a 3-4 outside linebacker is not a defensive end. He sure as hell isn't an outside linebacker, though. They're a combination of both. Yeah, it's an edge rusher. Probably almost a little closer to... No, I mean, they're an edge rusher. It's like it's a new position. And it's shocking that the NFL hasn't addressed this. It's almost hilarious, right? All you have to do is make a designation. Here's the price point. Well, I guess you'd have to get the top five highest paid guys, but...
Yeah, there are plenty of guys to compare himself to, and he is not the only one. So they have the effect to Bud Dupree to be classified as a D end is $2 million. He's going to get $15.8 million as he's tagged as an outside linebacker. If he moves to defensive end, he'll get almost $18 million, actually.
So Rappaport, boo, Ian Rappaport. Mr. Rumor Spreader, the village gossip. He did have a good point, which I'm sure he stole from somebody else. On Twitter, I see a tweet from him right here saying, if there is a blueprint for Shaq Barrett of the Bucks and Bud Dupree of the Steelers, Shaq Barrett, obviously free agency territory right here as well, sack leader last year for the NFL, if they're going to find a solution to their tag grievance, it's there in the Ravens and Matt Judon's example. Before Matt Judon signed his tag, Judon and Baltimore agreed on a midway point on that the tag will pay him $16.8 million. That's one option. So you could pay him in between the value of an outside linebacker and a defensive end, although he's still on a tag. It wasn't a deal. So I think that seems like a fair assessment.
But I'll go back to what you said. Aren't there enough edge rushers to have their own classification?
Yeah, but is that going to help Bud Dupree right now, or is that something that you'd have to get ready for next year? Because the only way you can franchise tag a player is the way they determine their money is by paying them the average or whatever of the top five paid players at their position. So these guys are kind of all over the map the way they get – there are no edge rushers. It's not a position. So how would you determine that number? There's defensive ends and outside linebackers.
Next Gen Stats
For the future, right? But not for right now. Like, he needs a deal, like, today.
Yeah, I get you, but it's not hard to figure out. That's the point. If the NFL wants to compromise, they could quickly figure out who an edge rusher is. And if you, I mean...
Yeah, 3-4 guys.
Yeah, so within guys who line up within 1 to 2 yards of the line of scrimmage, and Bud did that on 89% of his snaps last year. I mean, it's hard to argue.
Yeah, it's impossible. That's the position he plays. It's 3-4. It's just shocking. Sometimes NFL, it's just another example of how they're reactionary. Yeah. Isn't there somebody out there in the department? Is there a franchise tag department guy we can talk to? Like, is there a nickel corner amount? Or if you pay your nickel a lot, you got to pay him the same as a regular corner. But there's clear distinctions now.
So this will rip $2 million out of the cap space if Bud's successful. Steelers currently have $5.6 million of cap space at this point. And you and I have talked ad nauseum about who some bigger paid players are that might be let go to make space.
You know what's funny is I think Jerry Dulac had quoted that Ian Rappaport tweet, basically an earlier tweet. I guess the one that said originally that Bud Dupree is trying to be paid like a defensive end. And Dulac quote tweeted it and said, so tight ends who line up wide will want to be paid like wide receivers? And I don't know if the indication of that tweet is like, oh, what a ridiculous thought. But I'm kind of like, yeah, like maybe. Aren't they basically just really big wide receivers? Aren't they as valuable as wide receivers? I think that's a weird argument, right? The game has changed. Evan Ingram, Jimmy Graham, we watched him play. He hasn't blocked a person in his NFL career. But he was an absolutely dominant tight end, I say that in quotation marks, for a while. I think that's weird to care about that. Clearly, you pay them for what they do, right?
Yeah, and I'm thinking of some of these, maybe they're not hybrid players, but Christian McCaffrey. What's
right?
Would you make him just a running back? How about Taysom Hill?
Nailed it.
Yeah, so I just don't have a grasp outside the Steelers.
No, those are good examples because guess what? Both of those guys got paid this past year, and they got paid a lot of money each. I think Taysom Hill's making 15, 16 mil, which is like not starting quarterback money, but that's like a decent wide receiver. It's a high number for what he's done in the NFL, but I think it's a fair number because he's such a big part of that team. So they found a way to pay him the amount that he was worth without basing it on a particular position because he plays a bunch of them. Now he's an exception. He's like Cordell. The last guy who really did that was Cordell Stewart. But with Christian McCaffrey, it's like, well, yeah, he is a running back, and running backs catch the ball now. But they went ahead and paid him big money, which a lot of people don't want to do for running backs anymore, but maybe Christian McCaffrey gets such a different argument because you know, like, well, he might have more longevity, so we're not going to put the same, you know, fears on paying him that we do with Le'Veon Bell, who's getting hit a bunch of times every single game. And I know Le'Veon's a funny example because you talk about what a great receiver he is, and that's kind of why I thought he was worth some of the money himself. But even like Christian McCaffrey, like, he's faster than the receivers.
Yeah, so the fact is they collect enough data, statistics, I was just mentioning next gen, that they could figure this out, but they're going to become more and more unique. So instead of having a top five, are you actually going to have five tight ends who line up wide more than 25% of the time? I mean, you're going to be cutting this into such fine gradations, right. You're going to have a hard time finding a good pool of comparisons.
Yeah. That is true.
But that's not our problem. But I think, you know, it's hard to argue Bug's point, and it'll be interesting to see where the ball lands on this. It does constrain the Steelers a little bit more if he wins his argument.
It does. But it does seem fair, right?
Yeah. No argument. And to your point, the NFL is always two steps behind. And, you know, if you are an NFL player's agent, you've got nothing but time to figure out angles and things that stay a step ahead of the NFL.
Oh, yeah. I just want to hear, when is this damn Cam Hayward deal getting done? Because we can talk about Bud, that's fine, but Cam needs to sign. We need some ink on that contract. Will that open up some cap flexibility for the Steelers if they can get him extended, I assume?
If they extend Cam?
Yeah.
Depending on how they pay him. So if they give him a big check up front, they could really mitigate their what the cap hit for this year is. But it's, you know, you've got to pay the piper sooner or later. All you're doing is pushing your liability into the future that you'll have to figure out down then. But that's right. That's what I don't think teams really do care about the future. And they'll just figure, you know, yeah, we'll have some pain down there. We'll have to cut somebody. But this year we were able to save cap space.
It's funny. How different must it be following specific teams in the NFL? Because, you know, I at least follow the Jets a lot because cousin P. Butch, Pat, big Jets fan, and it's, you know, I have no stake in the game. I root for them because I want him to be happy, and I want them to be able to win. Didn't root for them in the AFC Championship game. Hope Pat's not listening to this one. But, it's also fun to talk about the Jets with him, not only because we have phenomenal football conversations and I'm just genuinely interested, but what their team goes through is so dramatically different from what our team goes through. Every year when we talk on this podcast, it's about, do we have $100 left in the salary cap? Like, should we push all the chips in the middle for this year? And usually the answer is yes. You're trying to get the most out of these teams. You have this superstar quarterback who's at the very end of his career, and you know that there's a chance that it could be difficult after he leaves. Of course, we all know how long it took him between Terry and Ben. By the way, there's also other options where if the Steelers have a great team, maybe they get a veteran to come in for a year or two or something like that. But long story short, the Steelers have been in the position where it's in their best interest to push all the chips into the middle of the table. And they demonstrated that probably in the strongest way possible when they traded for Minka, because the season was legitimately lost already. Everybody knew it. And the sticking point was that this might be the only chance the Steelers get to draft in the top 10, because it was looking like they might not win many games at all. And if you draft in the top 10, you really have a good chance of getting the successor to Ben, and the next 15 years of your franchise can be set up, right? But now in retrospect, maybe that's not what they were looking at it like. They're like, listen, Ben's going to come back. We are getting this superstar safety early in his career. Well, I guess you didn't know he was a superstar yet, but they believed that, and it turns out they were right. And they know, like, we're still pushing all in for this current team, which is Ben with the linemen of Pouncey and DeCastro and Villanueva, Hayward and Tuitt, Hayden at the end of his career, and some of these core guys, right? So that's kind of what they were pushing the chips into the middle for. Whereas with the Jets, they have so much money and flexibility, your strategies have to be way different. So it's a totally different conversation.
So AB got paid.
Boo. Excuse me. It's not AB anymore. It's just Brown now. AB's dead. We're on a last name basis.
Oh. Making a note here.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway.
Anybody else out there? It's just Brown now. AB is gone. But he did settle. So what happened with him?
The Patriots agreed to a $9 million signing bonus last September that was to be paid late September. But the first payment was due 3 days after they cut him. So this has been in dispute for a long while. Finally, they have agreed to pay him $5 million.
That
will help. They needed, and what that has done is help clean out their for some reason that clears out $4 million on their salary cap.
Okay, let me think. What's the guy's name? Eastbound and Down TV show with Danny McBride, where he plays, I don't know why, it's literally just because we're recording right now and the red light's in my eye that I can't remember. Kenny Powers. Okay, disgraced retired professional baseball pitcher who in the first season is just looking for an opportunity to make any money that he can possibly make. He's the cockiest man in the world, and everything in the world is everyone else's fault, not his own. So one day he goes to a car dealership in which we see Will Ferrell's greatest performance besides Ron Burgundy in his life as Ashley Schaefer, used car salesman. I think it's Ashley Schaefer's BMWs. And he's got long, platinum, silver, white hair and aviator sunglasses on. And he's a used car dealer guy, all right? So Kenny Powers comes up to him and says, like, hey, everyone knows me in this town. I'm a former baseball pitcher, professional pitcher. Why don't you pay me to come sign some autographs or something? We can get some people into your showroom. And Ashley Schaefer said, that's a great idea. I love that Kenny Powers. Kenny Powers in my own place. Woo! Woo! Keeps going, woo! So excited. Woo! And so you think, oh, okay, he's hyped up. He's going to pay Kenny Powers some money to do this. And Kenny says, all right, yeah, so I'll do it for like, I'll work you a deal. You're a hometown guy. I'll do it for a couple G's. And Ashley Schaefer looks right in his face with a smile, doesn't blink, says, yeah, I'm paying you $100. And he says, come on, man, $100. I was a major league pitcher. I'm famous around here. He goes, yeah, $100. So that's basically what the Patriots just did to Brown there.
Well, he got real money.
Except for $5 million.
Yeah, he still got real money. Are you hearing anything? Is he working out with anybody still? Is he in the news at all?
Yeah, yeah. Everybody. He's at Russell Wilson's house.
Oh.
Russ, you deserve COVID for that.
It's a big thing with him, isn't it? He really wants to be at these quarterbacks' house. The heartfelt need he has.
Yeah, what's up with
that? That validates him.
I'm pretty sure he actually went to Ben's house at one point, but you saw Juju was over there a couple months ago.
That must have been a dagger through the heart of Brown.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, he hates Ben now, so it's different. Oh, wait, no, he apologized to him recently. I can't keep track. But, that would suck, because I just don't want him to I don't want him to do well. And Russell Wilson's amazing, so that would be a great combination. But it really just seems like there's so many hurdles for him to get through. There was a rumor last week that the Ravens were interested. Obviously, his cousin's on the team. Lamar has worked out with him a bunch of times. But then a second report came out saying that they don't have any interest. And God, please do not let him join that. And I don't want to have to deal with that twice a year, that drama.
You know what is really weird? This is a combination story because the Patriots also settled with what I take to be the estate of Aaron Hernandez. Wow. He still had some they still had some obligations outstanding to him, and it says that the Patriots received a $2.5 million credit after settling a long running compensation grievance with the late Hernandez. That's just
dark.
Thought that was long gone.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, speaking of receivers who are trying to get back in the NFL, you mentioned Martavis. I think today the report came out that Terrell Pryor has been trying to get back in the league. And apparently he talked to about 5 teams. And rumors are the Steelers are one of those teams. You remember earlier, like last season, I think at the beginning of the year, he said, like, I really want to come play for Pittsburgh. He's a Pittsburgh guy. So Pryor even said on PFT, they had a Pro Football Talk, they had a quote saying, Pryor said that the Patriots are one of the teams he's spoken to, and he expressed interest in playing for them or the Steelers. I could still play, Pryor said, and I could still make plays and dominate. I know that. That's from Josh Alper at Pro Football Talk. Again, I love the idea of bringing freak athletes in at tiny costs just to create competition in the receiver room. I never mind that.
Well, look, speaking of tiny and speaking of this paltry $5 million, that pales in comparison with the half a billion dollar man, Patrick Mahomes. I'm still trying to catch my breath after reading that headline.
If there was any football god in the world, we'd read another headline tomorrow that says Patrick Billion, that's what they should call him, my goodness. Patrick Billion. Patrick Mahomes agrees to full $1 billion contract, futures contract, with the Steelers to succeed Ben after Ben retires, because that's how much I would pay Patrick Mahomes. Because he's not a football player. He is an act of nature.
Contract really interesting. So it's a 10-year, $450 million contract with a $10 million signing bonus. The guarantee is, you and I were debating what this could be, because obviously $450 million over 10 years isn't, you know, present value of that, et cetera, but it's guaranteed of $141 million. Surprisingly, his cap hit this year will be $5 million, but the dead cap, we're talking about 65. So is he at risk? Yeah, he's at risk. It's a 10-year. I think it's a lot of window dressing. It quote unquote gives him security. Well, once he got his $141 million, his security is assured. And the only thing you and I were debating is, how will this feel 5 years from now, when others are exceeding his $45 million on average salary?
Right. Is he going to?
May happen because sooner than
he's going to get. Yeah, it might happen in 2 years. Like, Deshaun Watson might be higher than that, right? Not saying Deshaun Watson's better, but we all know how this works. The next great quarterback who's in the top 10 or top 5, in this case when you're dealing with the number one guy, is going to leapfrog you as the salaries and the salary caps balloon, you know, every year. And sure, COVID's going to make these things take a hit, but they're going to bounce back after that with the TV contracts and everything going on. And in all sincerity, like, please, let's hope Patrick Mahomes doesn't become jaded, because one of the reasons he's so easy to root for is he's such a good guy, and it's very clear. And he seems like the guy who might be able to live with that, not being the number one highest paid guy, because, I mean, if you get quarter of a mil or third, whatever it is, half a mil, whatever you were saying, you're fine, you know? But the reality is, I think, so explain this to me. Security, yeah, partially, right? But this is sort of a 12-year deal, right? Because he has 2 years still on his remaining deal, or do they rip that up and then they just...
He will be a free agent in 2032, if that answers your question.
Yeah,
so
okay, so yes. But from what I've heard about the contract, maybe you can break this down in a way that I can understand a little bit better, is that the team over kind of the second half of his deal will have more flexibility to cut him if they want, because they'll be free of those guarantees and so on and so forth. That would be the one thing I would worry about for him.
So it's all about the dead cap hit, right? This is the phenomenon. When you give somebody a big check up front, it doesn't count all in the same year, as long as it's not a base. So if you get a signing bonus, it's amortized. It's divided over several future years, which is right. Why... So the dead cap hit is what you're afraid of. And that winnows down. It goes, I'll give you the numbers, $65 yeah. million, $60 million, $30, and then it's $4 million. So you'll sweep out the obligation to him over the next 5 years, which is, you know, that's nothing.
So after 5 years, then
there's no guarantee.
They have exactly. So that's the part of the deal that sort of surprises me. Now, I do believe there's a no trade clause, right? I did read that, so that would give him some protection. That's some real protection. But he's cuttable after three years into the new deal. And so that's the part that surprised me a little bit. Now, with him, he's so damn good. I could see it just completely working out. He makes all the money from it. He's a quarterback. They generally stay healthy. Even if a guy misses a year, they're able to come back. It's not like playing receiver where if you lose, you know, half a second on your 40 time, your game has been compromised. So I could totally see it working out for him. One thing that I wonder about is Andy Reid. He's such a phenomenal coach. If he can get one more Super Bowl, let's hope not while Ben's playing. Well, the Steelmen have something to say about it, but this guy took the Eagles to the championship four times in a row, got to one Super Bowl, lost it in the final moments with the Eagles to the Patriots. But the thing about Andy Reid that's interesting is, and I'm just mentioning this because he's such a great pairing with Patrick Mahomes personality-wise, offensive philosophy-wise, and with his ability to put a good team offensively and defensively around Patrick Mahomes. Yes, their defenses aren't amazing, but he found a way last year to make him good enough. How long are they going to have Andy Reid is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. Because I think what actually separates him from someone like a Sean Payton, who's brilliant, just one of the best offensive minds in the history of the game, is the fact that Andy Reid is an offensive coach. And his offense may not be as good as Reid or McDaniels, but or Shanahan, but it's very good. It's like a top 10 type of scheme. But he also always finds a way to get the defense working, and that's something that Sean Payton does not always figure out. Those Philadelphia Eagles teams were defensive teams. So I think that while Reid is there, they're in Super Bowl contention because it is so damn hard to win multiple Super Bowls with a great offense. It just never happens. I mean, the Niners are really the only time that happened, and that was with a revolutionary philosophy that, you know, took a while for people to catch up to. But the Rams, they went away as quickly as they got there. The 2007 Patriots, those dominant teams, they didn't even win one. Aaron Rodgers, I don't want to talk about that, but that team, when he won the Super Bowl, it just was a foregone conclusion that he was going to win more. So I don't know how many more Super Bowls Patrick Mahomes is going to win. I would assume he's at least going to get one more. But, I mean, if not more than that, of course. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of factors. You never know what can happen. But especially if Andy Reid was there, I could see him just getting through this whole deal and nobody's going to have any problems. But otherwise, there's just so much that can happen in 12 years.
Of the higher paid quarterbacks, who do you think is going to get the next deal? And let me little codicil to that question. You know, Ben is a free agent in 2022.
I think he said.
You think he's done?
He said he intends to play out the rest of his contract. So I don't think it's 100%, but I think it's pretty close to that. But he said, I'm going to fulfill my commitment to the Roonies, which is, you know, two more years.
Okay, so he was going to retire, then he didn't, then he was, then he isn't. But
well, that wasn't real. We all know that wasn't real. That was a PR thing to get Haley out of there.
What do you think would happen if he decided to play another year? If he sort of just said, I'm going to go on a year-to-year basis.
Yeah, that's...
Would he get paid?
I think they'd do with the... Yeah, I think he'd get paid. I just wonder what he would take. I mean, the guys you look at are Philip Rivers right now, who's getting a lot of money from the Colts, maybe more money than people thought he would get. You know, one of the opinions put out there is like, hey, when you bring a quarterback in to start, some people think you have to pay him starting money because it shows the commitment, shows the rest of your team that you're committed to this guy. So I don't know what your opinion is of that, but that's what they're doing with Philip Rivers. He might be a little overpaid right now. Drew Brees, you know, he gets paid a lot of money, but he could have fought to try to be the highest paid guy, or Tom Brady. But also then again, their coaches know that, like, hey, we don't, you guys are amazing, but you're also in your 40s, and if you really want to be the highest paid guy, the answer is no. So I don't know what their coaches are saying behind the scenes, but those are the guys who I think of. Brees and Rivers, Brady, they're people who have gotten these deals kind of going on a year-by-year basis.
So you think Deshaun Watson will be the next big contract?
Well, probably Deshaun or Dak Prescott, obviously, is going to sign the franchise tag for this year. Dak, I think, is phenomenal. Like, if he was... He's not, but I would be ecstatic if he was succeeding Ben as a quarterback. This is a top 10 type of guy. I don't know if he'll ever be a top 5 type of guy. He's a good thrower, but those really top 5, they need to be those, you know, just next level kind of throwers. But he's a great quarterback. He's incredibly durable. He's got a strong arm. He can run, but he's not quite Deshaun. So I think Deshaun's would exceed his, because I guess Carson Wentz has already gotten paid. So it looks like Watson would be the next guy off the top of my head who's going to get paid, because it sure as hell ain't going to be Trubisky.
That's a pretty good guess. When you look a little further down the road, and maybe Baltimore would be willing to crack this open earlier, what about Lamar Jackson?
I would guess that as well, yeah. So this is going to be his third year, right? Actually, technically, right. After this year, you can get a new deal. So if he does this year what he did last year, they'd be smart. I'm always of the idea of, like, you know, pay these guys early. Wish we had paid Le'Veon Bell a little bit earlier. Would have saved some money and headaches and a lost season.
You know, it's probably not as dry here at the Washington Outpost as it is in Houston. But I'll tell you, one silver lining about the dryness is that you really don't have to cut the lawn anymore.
Well, it's good that you don't have to cut the lawn outside. But you always got to be cognizant of the lawn inside. Oh, my pain receptors! Those are the screams that I used to make when I would cut myself shaving before I knew about Manscaped. Thank you, Manscaped, for turning my loud shrieks into multiple peaks. That's right. You want to be an artist? You can be. You don't want to be an artist? You don't need to be. Guess what? Manscaped, they got the tools for your family jewels. Have you ever cut yourself in that process? You never will again. That's the commercial, okay? There's a lot of extra so on and so forth that I can go into on this, but I will tell you, I am an actual card-carrying user of Manscaped. That's not on the copy. Actually use that stuff. It's amazing. I have a leather pouch bag, if you will, filled with the Lawnmower 3.0 and a couple oils and balms and anti-chafing creams and body wash and all kinds of good stuff. You're never going to cut yourself again. And by the way, if you're interested in, you know, a little one-on-one, it's gonna behoove you to stay clean. Cut the lawn with Manscaped. All right, get 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com right now. And it's a good way to support our podcast. Your balls will thank you. Armchair, manscaped.com.
We have not mentioned this. What is it with these two cornerbacks, DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar? Shake down a party with guns, arrested, and the late. Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're a flying under the radar screen. And now the story is there's a twist to the story that one of the guys, was working with their lawyer to pay witnesses to recant their testimony against these two clowns. Have you been following this story?
No, I heard about it. It's sad when guys get involved with that because, you know, so a ridiculous percentage of NFL players come from legitimately tragic upbringings. Like, the poverty that these guys live in. Just, you remember all the segments on Antonio Brown, that we used to see about his life in Liberty City. And, I mean, it's serious stuff. And then you got to remember, these dudes are all in their young 20s. Like, they're still trying to figure stuff out, and I'm obviously not excusing guys for shaking down a party with weapons, but it is just a sad tale from the outside. Like, what the? You're in the NFL. You have the world by the balls. You are the Manscaped lawnmower to the world right now, and for some reason you're endangering all that.
Quentin Dunbar is 27, and he has earned $9 million. In his career with the NFL. Not to mention whatever he got in Florida.
That just doubles down on what I'm saying. Yeah, of course, yeah, they should know better. That's what I'm saying. But it is like, it's just tragic to see and that they're, it's, because when you're looking from the outside in, it's easy to say, you are the dumbest people on the earth. How could you put in jeopardy your multi-million dollar paying job with something stupid like this? But I guess it's hard for me to relate because I didn't grow up around that. Like, you still have friends and family who are all still in that situation, but your football talent took you out of it. So it must be really hard to get out of that mindset. But it is just a dumb move. Unbelievable that it's, but it still happens. And I think that's the reason why it happens. It's not just that these guys are psychos. I think it's a, you know, your upbringing and all the, you know, people that are really close to you are, I don't know, still of this thought of mine. I don't, what was the dispute about? Did they even say?
It was just shaking them down. They were stealing. I mean, Quentin, I said it, Dunbar is 27. Baker's 22. I'm not going to say I can understand because he's 22 for all the reasons you just mentioned. But he got a $10 million contract with a $5 million signing bonus. He's guaranteed for almost the entire $10 million.
And he ran like a 4.6 in his 40 as a corner. So that's, he's kind of batting above
his average. Depressed him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Phenomenal. We had a...
were they wearing masks?
Hopefully. Oh, that's
at least they could have
done. Aggravated assault because there was no mask. So this is mildly related to football. You had a little adventure in dental escapades this week.
I did, yeah. And I'm still trying to pull myself out of the depression right now. Obviously, a lot of, you know, I do a lot of music as my job. And right now, in the COVID times, that's, business isn't booming, as they say. And but we're making it all right. We're making it through. You just wish that you didn't have to take care of some dental stuff in the meantime, because you get that bill back, and it's just it's enough to make you shudder. See, I have an issue that I have a very pronounced jaw, strong Roman jaw. We have no Roman blood, but either way, that's what my grandfather tells me. Strong Roman jaw. Once again, we have no Roman blood, but Paraguayan jaw, I guess you could say. Pittsburgh jaw, more accurately. Either way, I got to get a grind guard because apparently I grind my teeth like a woodchuck or a beaver as I sleep so badly that I now have the back teeth of a 74-year-old man. I was made aware of this as a young teenager, and they said, you need to wear a grind guard. And I said, ha-ha, bing-bong-boom, you need to wear a grind guard, because I was a teenager and didn't take any of that kind of stuff seriously. So I tried it for a couple nights. Didn't work out for me. Didn't work with my lifestyle at the time. Just let it go. Then in my 20s, I started realizing I can physically feel the flatness of my back teeth with my tongue, just like in a day-to-day setting. So if I can feel that without any tools or instruments, there's clearly an issue, and they will be gone by the time I'm 30 if I don't do something about it. So I went and got a grind guard. And I've been wearing it religiously, crushing it. I'm used to it. It's no big deal. Who cares? Not a kid. But we were thinking about strong jaws and what kind of damage. You know, it's the gift that gives, but it takes away. And you can do some serious damage to yourself.
I think that is the reason Coach Bill Cowher retired from the game. You think that guy, look at his front teeth. Did Baylor exist? I mean, his mouth must be like a reciprocating saw at night. And he probably is in desperate need of a titanium teeth grinder guard.
Yeah, titanium at least. Kevlar, perhaps.
You know, he's frowning all the time. He probably gave himself migraines.
Yeah, but hurt. I wonder if he could do like a Jim Carrey impression. Actually, I would love to see a Jim Carrey impression of Bill Cowher. They both have kind of a long face that way. And Jim has an ability to take his mouth and basically smile up to his eyeballs or frown down to his nipples. So he could probably do an unbelievable Bill Cowher impression. But some people have the issue with grinding their teeth during the daytime. Others have the issue, like I have, of grinding it at night. But they'll wake up and they'll feel sore, like their jaw will hurt. I don't even notice that. The jaw's too powerful to even be in pain at that point. Cowher, I realize he must have all of that, because he's not just making that face for the camera. This is the physical repercussion of a satanic rage that he's feeling because of somebody not wrapping up or whatever it may be. And I can only imagine the dental bills that that man has. But luckily, he can do some of those Hall of Fame credentialed speeches these days to pay off some of that stuff.
It's great everybody stuck around this long in the episode. It's great we had a little meat for this show, and we expect some more for next week. Hopefully, more good news abounds. So we'd like to hear from you. Visit the website, SteelersOutpost.com. Check us out on Instagram. We got to finish that video.
Yep.
At Steelers Outpost. Hit us up on Twitter at Steelers Outpost, or shoot us an email at SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Until next week, go Steelers.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.